I hope you're awake. I hope the rain's not making you too sleepy. Anybody sleeping out there?
Yep.
All right. Truthful. All right. I'll just come and preach in front of you. All right. I will tell you, since I've been a senior pastor, before I was a senior pastor, one of the things as a youth pastor, you can kind of get away with things when you're up on the stage as a youth pastor that you can't, I think, get away with when you're the senior pastor. But I've always had a desire to, like, hide in the sanctuary and give the sermon with nobody up here. I don't know why. I just think it would be kind of a cool thing. Part of it is theology of, like, I don't want you to be focused on me. I want us as a church to be focused on God, right? That's the one desire that I have, that no matter what story I bring, no matter if I make you laugh or I tell a story that you connect with, more importantly, my hope as a pastor is that you get the Spirit moved in your heart and that you heard from God today and not Ben Alexander, okay? That's my hope. Whether I bring an A-plus sermon or an F, that God has showed up in your life and that he moved is the most important thing. Now, I don't want to bring an F sermon. Trust me on that, right? But I know I'm human. I know I fail many times, and I know God is bigger than my failures, and he will bless them, all right? And he gives me hope with that. But as a youth pastor, I've always desired, like, we got an amazing balcony up there. I don't know if you've been up to the balcony. It's awesome. It's got different color floor up there. It's really pretty. I believe it was the original floor in this church. Am I wrong? I'm correct. If it was down here, you'd be like, oh, like it's bright orange. All right? But I have always desired to preach from afar and see how people would respond, just because I don't want the focus on me, right? But it's just, you can't really do that. People be like, what's wrong? I'm not going back to that church. They had somebody was speaking. I think it was on recording. But no, God is good. I'm excited to be, we are doing a series called Grow. We went through Connect, now we're on Grow, and next week we'll start our Serve series. Speaking of that, we have an opportunity to serve July 23rd. Is that right, Sierra? This Saturday. So coming Saturday, is that the 23rd? All right, I got a date right. Woo! All right. July 23rd, 6 p.m. through 8 p.m., we will meet here, right? And then we'll go out and serve our community by finding the homeless, right? Those who are in need, and we feed them and we give them water, right? Basically, we're being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. You can pray over them. Is that what you said? Yeah. So you'll be able to have the opportunity to pray over people. What an awesome event, right? What does Jesus say about this when we serve people? Anybody? We served him. Those who are the outcast, those who don't have a home, those who are in need, those times that you loved on them and you were there for them and you clothed them and you fed me, he says. Think about that. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, of being in his presence in that moment, that you feed people, that you love on people, that you pray over them, that's more than what your heart should be exploding in that moment. You should be overwhelmed in that moment, knowing that Jesus met you in that moment and that you served him. What an awesome event, right? That's Scripture. That's not Ben Alexander saying, hey, you need to serve. This is Scripture saying, this is Jesus saying in Scripture what we are called to do. And do we love Jesus?
Yeah.
Right? At least we got some teens to say. And they're tired. I know it. Right? Do we love Jesus?
Yes.
Are we a church that wants to serve Jesus?
Yes.
All right. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. And we have the opportunity on Saturday to do that. And we're going to meet here at 6 and then go. All right? So an exciting opportunity. Let's see. We're doing grow. Last week, I talked about donuts. I want you to know I didn't eat a single donut. I didn't eat 12 donuts. Right? Right? Last week, I talked about what it means to have self-control and endurance, which basically is don't give in will help you not to give up. And if you don't give in to the stuff that that can overrun your life, it'll help you run the race that God has called you for. But the more that we give in to stuff, the more we are carrying and the race becomes heavier. And almost to a point that we can't sustain it. Right? God has a call on everybody in here. Whether you believe it or not, God has a call on your life. And it could be simple as just loving the people that are around you, caring for them, being there for them, mowing somebody's lawn when you don't want to mow it, you don't even want to mow yours, right? It's loving our neighbors right where they're at. That's what we have a call for. And sometimes it's more specific. You know, you look at Scripture and we're highlighted with specific callings like Noah, go build a boat. Right? And he gave him the plans, he gave him the idea, and it was in this time of like, okay, this is a crazy thought. What is he doing building this giant boat and then getting all these animals and putting them on this boat and then going, right? Like all the people around him are like, okay, crazy. The crazy guy right there, right? I'm telling you, I'd rather be crazy for Jesus than anything else, okay? So if God's put a call on your life, and I will tell you this too, if he's put a call in your life and you need to do something, and you're like, your leadership here, like me, as a pastor, you go, I don't know, I'm a little nervous. Just usurp me and go. God's got a call in your life. You need to be doing it. All right? It's a big deal. And we're going to talk about what it means to continue to grow. All right? And today, the question, first off, before I get to this, I want to read a letter from one of ours in this church. Her name is JC, right? Did I get that right? All right, and she's 12 years old, and she gave us this letter, and she asked if I would read it on a Sunday morning, and it's to you, all right? Hey, everyone, how are you? My name is JC. I'm 10 years old, and I want to say a couple things. I just want to say if you're going through a hard time right now, I'm very sorry, but I promise you everything will get better. It won't happen overnight, though. It's going to take time. It will get worse before it gets better. Everything that is this way is supposed to be. God has a plan for you, a special plan. God is always going to be there for you. He's always by your side. Another thing is if someone leaves you or hurts you and can't see your worth, then that's on them. They aren't worth your time and effort. God put you on this earth for a reason, a unique reason. You are all beautiful and handsome in your own way. God made you special in your own. Some people are just cruel, and if I could change that, I would. Thank you for listening, JC. Cool letter, right? For you said you're 12, right? For a 12-year-old, that's amazing. What an encouragement. Thank you for calling me handsome. I hope you're encouraged by this. You know, Jesus talked about the children have his heart, childlike faith. This is childlike faith. When's the last time you encouraged somebody like that? Think about it. Reading that letter is the Holy Spirit moving in her. And we got to see it, and she loved us enough to share this. She wanted me to read it last week. I didn't have the time yet, and I wanted to read it first, right? I should have just went with it last week because God is good, and he's moving in her heart to share with us. And I think a revival is happening here. It's not about numbers. It's about the Spirit moving on our lives, and we growing closer to God and God using us. I want you to know the stories that I hear from you right now is a church that's moving. A church that's realizing we're not an address here, we're a movement, and that Jesus is using us, and we want to be used by Jesus. That's growth. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes there's rejection. Sometimes there's things that we, you know, we're put out there and we're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Trust me, Jesus understands. All right? Today we're going to talk about the idea of what am I doing to grow? All right? What am I doing to grow? And in this, I before we read the scripture, I want to tell a story real quick about when I was 16 years old and I was down in Bradenton, Florida. My dad, he's a doctor. He lived a total different life than what I lived, and I would visit him for a month during the summer. And usually, before I was 16, he put me in a tennis camp that lasted from 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. because he had no clue what to do. So it was like tennis camp daycare for me. Now, I will tell you, I loved it. It was Nick Bollettieri Tennis Camp. It was more than I've ever experienced in my life. I played on clay. I played on grass. I played on asphalt. I played on everything that the pros played. In fact, the person that taught me was a pro. And I started loving tennis. Now, luckily, Dad, like, it worked out for me that I got to do this, and I was excited to be out part of it, and I would go play tennis tournaments, and my dad would come to those, and he'd have to take a Valium because he's like, oh, he'd get stressed out, right? Now, watching my kids, I kind of feel that. I'm like, you know, you get excited as a parent, right? Now, you know, I became 16, and he's like, okay, we're done with that, but I don't want to drive you around, so we went to a car dealership one morning. I didn't know what we were doing. He's like, okay, I see a little tiny truck over here. It's an S10. It's a manual. It's yours. And he bought me a truck. Now, I lived in Illinois. All right? I've never driven a manual before. All right? I flew down to Florida every summer. I'm 16 years old. My first life, woo-hoo-hoo, all right, I got a truck. Sweet, right? And I spent that whole rest of the time learning how to drive manual, realizing, too, how's this getting home? How's this getting home? I'm 16 years old. There's no such thing as cell phones during that time. There's no GPS. There's no that. And I've driven enough times down to Florida to know that I'd have to go through Chattanooga, which is just all mountains. All right? And sometimes I remember my family going, okay, we're going to have to stop because sometimes that traffic stops on that hill. Do you know what Florida doesn't have? Hills. And I knew I'd have a manual. You know what I worried the most about that whole trip home? Getting stopped on that mountain going, oh, no. Right? So I practice and practice. I try to find speed bumps that I can kind of, right? Whatever I could do. And the day came. I left at 5 a.m. in the morning. It's an 18-hour trip, and I did it by myself as a 16-year-old. Now, I want you to know, my mom, I love you, and I will tell you she panicked the whole time. She was worried. She wanted to come down, but she couldn't afford it. My dad wasn't going to pay for her to come down. It was just how it was, right? And so I drove home, and I will tell you, as a teenage 16-year-old, yeah, right? I thought it was awesome. Atlanta was scary, but I made it through it. Didn't hit anybody, right? Made it through Chattanooga without it. Like, my prayer life during that time was like, Lord, please no traffic during the mountains, right? Because I was afraid, like, if I get stuck on this, I'm just going to roll straight backwards. I just am, you know, and I'll hit a car behind me, and then they'll be mad, and that's the end of this, right? That's my thought. I made it through. Why I tell this story is, have you ever driven and got somewhere and you're like, I don't remember that trip. Like, how did I made it home already? Like, you slept, drove through half the drive because your brain's going, and it's just, you're just daydreaming, right? And you go, I'm sure I didn't hit anybody. Sure of it. When did they put speed bumps on the interstate? Right? Just me? Okay. But there was part of that trip that I remember getting to Illinois and going, I don't remember the state Tennessee at all. Like, did I drive through Tennessee? Like, I was just thinking about the summer. I was thinking about life. I was thinking about what God was doing. I was thinking about, I got a truck now. Awesome. Right? I was thinking about those things. And all of a sudden, I just made it somewhere. And the destination come. The only time that was the most stressful, I would say, was that 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. shift where I was only an hour away from home. And my eyes, that last hour, were going, I'm up. I rolled down the window. I stuck my head out, and I was like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And I felt like I take each hand off this, one hand off the steering wheel and open an eye, like, I got this. I got this. And it got really intense, right? Now, I think that can speak emotions about our walk with God, too. Of, like, how much we can get to a point where, like, I'm just surviving with you, God. All right? But I want to talk about that moment where we get in our spiritual walk and we go, I don't remember what happened. I just got to this point. I'd just been living my spiritual walk almost like a zombie and hoping that God will carry me through this. Distracted by all the things that this world has to offer and just going, all right, I'm going to make it. And all of a sudden you sit down and you're like, man, where did I see God this week? Did I even pray? Did I even spend time with him in this moment? No, I got busy. And I'll tell you, the last couple of weeks have been crazy for me. Thursday through Saturday, I had a district assembly. Some of you are like, district assembly, all right. The Nazarene Church gets together, and it's the Illinois district, and we have about 60 churches on our district, and we have a superintendent, and we report to him, and we give all our numbers to him, and we meet every year for 3 days. And all right? Can you imagine 60 pastors all in one area? You can't get a word in. We love to talk. I love our senior, our superintendent for this. Like, we had to give reports, right? And he made us write out our reports, and our reports were supposed to be 1 minute long. I thought it was funny that, okay, you have to write this out. I'm like, who has to write out a 1 minute report? I'm excited to just give my 1 minute report. 1 minute, done, all right. There's some that were like 15 minutes and still going. I suggested to the senior pastor or superintendent that maybe we should put up a shot clock and with the buzzer, right? Or the, what is it, Oscars that have the music that pull you off the stage? You know, at least it's like nice and gentle. But I don't think it would stop these pastors. I think they would just keep going, right? They're excited about what God's doing in their church, and they want everybody to know. So, yeah, this week was that, and we were voting on things, leadership in our church, and it's business. And I will tell you, the first two nights, I don't think I got home until 10 p.m., and that trip from Decatur, it was hosted in Decatur. There's moments, I will tell you, it's easy to forget where you're driving from 72 to on there, right? A lot of cornfields. It's pretty much all the same thing. And as you're riding along, you can go, I'm already here. Okay. I fell asleep during that point. My eyes were open, but I fell asleep during it, right? Anyway, it's been busy, and it's easy to forget what God is doing in our lives. It's easy to forget what I need to partake in my growth with God. We have a role in it, right? God sets up this relationship right away. He made us. He designed us. He was involved in our lives. He was working for us, right? He breathed his breath into Adam and gave life. He was actively a part of our life, right? And he gave us a job. This is what's cool about God. He puts us to work. And work for God is a blessing, right? If you have a job, understand it in the terms that God is giving you that opportunity to work and glorify him through your job. And when you approach work that way, whew, it should change your mentality of when you show up. If you're working knowing that God has given you and blessed the idea of work and the concept of work, right? Because God works. If you read Genesis, you'll see God at work. He honors it. And he understands, okay, after all that work, we have a tendency as pastors and churches, what do we usually focus on? The day of rest. Right? Oh, it's the Sabbath, which usually it's this day, the day that we come together and we sit down and we hear his word and we sing and we should go home. And the idea is that we're not like having to do anything for work. We can, the stuff that we do, that we do it to glorify God. So if you want to go play a round of golf and you're enjoying that time and understanding as you hit that ball and you go out there and hit that ball, understand that it's supposed to be stress-free. That's why I don't hit the ball. That's why I don't go golf, because it won't be stress-free. But it's finding that thing in your life that will draw you closer to God so you can have rest. But the rest of the time is understanding when you're working for God, when you live for God, you work for God. And that time that you show up, whatever time that is, 9 to 5, it is to glorify him. Whatever you do, teachers, it is to glorify God, and you teach the best that you can. Lawyers, it is to glorify God with the law of this land. Right? Whatever you do, it is to glorify God. And God is giving you that gift. The hard thing is when we forget that we have an ownership in it. If we look at Ephesians 4, 13 through 14, says this, until we reach unity in faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to all, the whole measure of fullness to God, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there in every wind of teaching by the cunning and craftiness of their very deceitful scheming. This puts ownership of us to understand at some point when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, right? That moment that we said, we've kneeled before and said, Lord, I repent of my sins. I don't want to live this way anymore. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me. I believe in you, Jesus. I want to live for you. You hear that? I want to live for you. Doesn't mean just in that moment. Because if we live in just that moment, we are infants in our faith. Okay? And this is what starts to happen. We hear some kind of message, or we hear our friends talk, or we hear any kind of thing that's going on in this world. If you read news, you listen to news, it is easy to be tossed back and forth of what's going on and be just swayed by things that are not what Christ has wanted. And in our growth with him, it is sustained upon us to grow. It doesn't just magically happen. One of the things that, at 20 years of ministry, one of the things that I've realized is that a lot of people get stuck in a moment in their faith. And usually it is the moment they accepted Jesus Christ. And you want to know how I know? We usually put it with our preferences of that time that we got saved. So whatever music was being played, however style of minister or pastor was preaching, guess what we have a tendency to really like the moment that we got saved? That music, that style of pastor, that style of church. And we long for those times to reach back and go, that worked. We need that. That music was so good, and man, it changed my heart. Can we not play that music? Pastor, you need to be more roar, right? Right? Bring fire and brimstone. Because it changed me. I want you to evaluate some things in that moment. Yeah, those things were good, right? But God is so vast, so big. I want you to know those things also have a moment where they weren't connecting with people because they did other things back then too. Do you realize, like, when churches, there is times in churches you just stood the entire time and that you just read scripture the entire time, and then instead of music, you would chant to God? That was church. Can you imagine still doing that? That'd be kind of weird. You see, God calls us to keep moving forward, and times change. God doesn't change. His message doesn't change, but the way it's delivered changes. And with our own faith walk, we are called to move forward. I'm not telling you that, like, I want you, this is a big thing here. I want you to analyze what I say. I do want you to be critical of what I say. I want you to bounce it back and go, is this true with what Scripture says? Right? And I would love to meet with you anytime if you're like, hey, can you help me with this? Because where you're going with this, I'm not quite understanding if it matches with, and I will tell you, I want to be called on it. I do. All right, I'm not bigger than Scripture. I'm not bigger than God. But I will tell you with my heart, I'm wanting to lead you in a way that God, as I believe, called us to go as a church. And I don't think he wants us to be pew sitters with our faith. That we have to be active participants in our walk with God. So we have to be very aware of the moments that we're like, how did I get here? How did I get to this moment? Because spiritually, I think there are many times that we just fall asleep at the wheel of our walk with God. Because we just keep doing the same thing. And I understand life is like that. Our days are like, I could copy and paste my days of the week sometimes, right? And it's just how it is. But the more I pay attention to what God has, do you know that my days are very, very different? And the more that I'm going, okay, God, if I begin my day, God, how are you going to change my life today? God, how do you want me to do your work today? How do you, I involved in the ministry that you're called in? And if I wake up and I see that and I'm attuned to that, guess what starts to happen? I see where God is working, and I want to be a part of it. And I won't be tossed around by the winds. I'll be guided by God. And I guarantee you, growing pains will happen. Growing pains will happen. I have two teenagers now, scary thing, and they're growing. And they're, as a parent, I'm like, they'll come in and be like, oh, my arms hurt, my legs hurt, oh, my back hurts. That's Natalie's favorite one. My back hurts, right? And as a parent, like, what's wrong with you? Always, and I started thinking, like, oh, yeah, you get growing pains. Your body's stretching out. Your muscles are building. Your body, and it's sometimes more than you can even handle, right? Spiritually, God wants to do that with you. And there's never a time that you stop growing spiritually. It's every time, every day, he's saying, this is your new call today. Guess what? You got to forgive your coworker today. What? Why? Today. Because when you do that, you're not being tossed around like an infant in a boat. You're starting to grow muscle. You're starting to find your faith and understand, hey, I've got a call on my life to do this. For far too long as a church, and I'm not just saying this, I got to be careful because I pigeonhole really easy. I'm not saying this church, but what I'm saying as a big church, we have allowed our faith to relax. We've watched this world and we easily go, it's going to hell. And we wait for our pastor to give a great sermon, but I'm telling you, I'm looking out. I'm already found the saved people. They're here. You know the message. You believe Jesus Christ. You know him personally. My job is to get you to go out and live out that message to a world that doesn't know it. And when they challenge your faith, you've been doing the work and you're ready for it. And we come together as believers and we go, okay, this was posed to me. How do I answer this? Or this, somebody did this to me, and my response is, I want to hurt them. How do I love this person? Or your response is, listen, I heard this need over here. How can we as a church or a small group or an individuals get together and love on them more? Right? You're right. We have a world right now that we look at and it's full of chaos and they're making decisions. You're like, oh my goodness. And there's reactions and never before. And I think some of it is that we have social media just all over the place and we are more aware of everything that's going on in this world, right? Whereas I was growing up, it was just local news, and sometimes you get the big stories, then you're like, oh, that's horrible. That's not in my neighborhood. Whew. Right? Now we everything's in our neighborhood, it feels like. And it's easy to go, oh, no, America is just, and get caught up in that. Do you know that you have a calling to be out in this world where it's and bring peace? To bring understanding. I love it. Our general superintendent, David Busick, put it this way. Somebody asked him a question about the LGBTQ and what's our response as a church. And I loved his response. He goes, we have to be on a scale here, right? And if we love too much, we kind of become permissive and allow. But if we, how did he put it? If we correct too much, we become judgmental and not loving. He said there is this weird little fine line of balance of where we come in and we love and don't condone what their actions are, but we love them. And I thought, oh, man, we as a church, we have to find that line of where we can equally balance out and go, we are a church that offers for the broken, the lost, the hurt, those who question faith, those who question life, those who question everything that we believe, we bring them in and we love them, but we love them in a way that we don't lose our standards of how we live for God. And we have to find that balance. And I'm going to tell you right now, it takes growth to find that balance. It takes understanding of how to present it in a way that I'm not going to be massively judgmental, but I can't just sit by and go, yeah, we accept everybody for who they are and wherever they are, and you can do whatever you want. Because that's not God's call on their life either. That's not God's call on my life. Last week we talked about it, right? We talked about this moment of being self-control. Me eating 12 donuts every time I went to Krispy Kremes is not healthy. It's not healthy. And the way people live their lives, if we're not the voice of reason and understanding of how God designed them and wants them, and if we live our life to God, what all of us need to understand is that we ultimately sacrifice ourselves daily to him. Jesus said what? To pick up your cross once a week?
Daily.
To pick up your cross daily. What do you think that means? Right? To pick up your cross daily is not something that we go, oh, this is a joyful moment. This is me dying of myself and my desires and my needs and putting Jesus Christ first and up front. Amen. And it changes how I live. It changes my priorities. And when I do that daily, guess what? I don't sleepwalk through my faith anymore. Because I start to understand I have a big call in my life. And it is to praise God. It is to follow Jesus. It is to do his work that he's called me to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is not just my call in life. This is your call in life. You have ownership in this. So the question for you is this. I'm gonna skip ahead, sorry. What are you doing to grow? What are you doing to grow? Because this is on you. I can't make you grow. I can't force feed you. I can be here on a Sunday and I can like give you the scripture, but I'm hoping and praying as a pastor that this isn't your only moment with God through this week. I'm hoping as a pastor that this isn't the only moment you're like, okay, I can finally go and I'm tired, I'm exhausted spiritually, and I need this moment. My thought is like, I want you to empty out your cup and you come back and you're ready to fill up, but through the week you've been filling that cup up because every day it's going to empty you out when you follow Jesus. Because he's going to put you in places that it only took Jesus to love that person. And I felt it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It took Jesus to love those pastors. And I bet they felt the same way about me. Right? God is good. All the time, God is good. Right? But I think we only recognize that God is good when we have our eyes open during our walk with faith and we're alive and we understand it and we're doing our part to get it. Life can be through storms, and you might be going through a storm right now. You might be dealing with things that you look at from the outside, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm going to tell you right now, we talked about it a little bit before. Jesus is in that storm with you, and guess what? He can say to the winds and the storm itself and calm it straight down, right? Whatever you're going through, if we look to Jesus, he can get through the storm. He was sleeping through a storm at one point. It didn't matter to him because he knew he's bigger than the storms. He knew he can control these storms. He knew he had that ability. If we have that kind of faith that no matter what storm we go through, that Jesus has got me, man, life is so much easier in understanding. It doesn't matter what I go through. If my house burns down today, I don't want it to, trust me. But if it burns down today, I know God's got me. I know he does. I'll live in a tent. I know he's got me. And it doesn't make me self-righteous. It makes me understand who Jesus is. And I have never in my life, I want you to know, I lived in two different worlds during a year. I lived in a trailer park, majority of it, with my mom, and I lived in a mansion with my dad, and I saw it. And I will tell you, I'll take the trailer park any day because God was there, and he was moving, and he was loving me, and I got saved in there. Amen. The temptations at my dad's place to just be who I was, and it was sustaining, and I didn't need anything. It was harder in those moments to go, God is good. He's got me. But I can do this. You see, life could have been out of control. My dad, and I love him, trust me, and I'm not here to talk ill about my dad, but he was not equipped to be the dad that I needed. I needed a dad that was going to give me discipline. I needed a dad that was going to find boundaries. This is the dad I got. Hey, just don't get arrested. All right? The freedom that I found with God was more intense than the freedom that I could have had at that home. And my eyes were open. And my faith was moving. And I found God in the storms. And he's bigger than the issues. He's bigger than the problems that we see. He's bigger than our hurt. He hurts with us and loves us through it. But we have to have our eyes open during this time. I want to give ideas of how we can grow. We have small groups, and I'm going to ask Kathy to come up, and she's going to explain small groups. She's got a booth out there, and she's going to tell you about it. But we also have some other things going on, too. We have Sunday night from 6:30 to 7:30. We have Adam and we have Logan teaching a class about parables. When did I say Tuesday? Sunday. Wow. You should do it on Sunday, too. Wednesday night. That's going on, right? Right? They had 18 last Sunday, or last Wednesday, right? I'll get the days right, right? We also have an opportunity to serve on the 23rd. I've gotten that day down. 6 to 8, don't miss it. We're going to do rooted groups sometime this year again. We got small groups coming. We have opportunities to grow. It is on you whether you are part of it. All right, Kathy, go for it.
All right, thanks, Pastor Ben. Appreciate it. I just wanted to talk to you about small groups this morning. I was convicted by God to lead small groups. It's such an important part of the church. I thought at first I wanted to call it life groups. Let's call it life groups because we're going to share life together. But I found out that there is a significance to being called small groups. Jesus, our perfect example, was baptized and he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to pray and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And then, you know what the next thing he did? He formed a small group. He formed a small group of 12 men to follow him, and he needed help in building relationships and spreading the good news. So small groups are biblical. The establishment of the church in Acts 1 after Jesus ascended back to heaven, the 11 of his small group gathered in an upper room. The group was grown to 120. They had all grown. They all joined together in constant prayer after Jesus left. And then you know the story of Pentecost. Then suddenly a loud sound like a violent wind filled the house, and what seemed to be tongues of fire came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now Peter spoke that day, and many were deeply moved and asked, "What shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And many accepted that message, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and fellowship. And this is important. They continued to meet together in the temple courts and broke bread together in their homes. So in the church, there are two parts to the church. Our Sunday morning gathering and meeting together in small groups, meeting together and breaking bread in our homes. So the church experienced great growth, rapid growth. Chapter 2, they added daily. Chapter 5, 5,000 men were added, not including women and children. And later in Acts, tens of thousands of people joined the church. So they had big church worship, and they had small group fellowship. It's part of the church. It's not a ministry. It's not something we choose to do or not to do. It's part of the church to be in a small group. So the temple courts, the big worship time, is our Sunday morning times. It's information, presentation, in which people sit in rows and they listen to teaching. Those small group house-to-house gatherings, it's transformation at those times. There's more conversation. There's more interaction, with emphasis on relationships. So you'll sit in a home, or it can be in a church, but you sit in a circle. You have a relationship, a connection there. So small groups equip and encourage believers to work together in order to fulfill the call of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Let me refresh your memory on what the Great Commission is in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's part of a small group. You're going to have fellowship, ministry, evangelism, discipleship, part of the small group. Another part, the Great Commandment. That Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So you're putting those together. It's only in our deeper relationships that we realize we have, realize healing for our pain that we have and for potential for impact according to God's purpose. So our small group vision is to see every person from the core of our church to the very ever-growing community, connect to a healthy small group. So the busiest people, we're all busy. We're all really busy. Busiest people can make time for things that matter, and small groups matter. So today we're going to have sign-ups out here. So if I sign up today for a small group, what does that mean? What is a small group? So we're going to join 8 to 10 people together. Those people will decide where you want to meet and when you want to meet. And then at these meetings, we're going to get to know one another. We're going to study the Bible. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to pray together. We're going to eat together. We'll probably meet for maybe 2 hours. That's what we used to do when I was in the small group. We'd start out studying, discussing, and then keep an hour for fellowship and eating. But that small group will connect us to the body of Christ. Together, unified, we are the body of Christ. And then we'll pray together, we'll pray for each other, and prayer together like that can be more meaningful, more powerful. You can pray for each other's burdens. You can praise God for burden or prayers, concerns that have been met. We'll be able to handle stress better because you're going to have a support system of those people that you're in a small group with. And it's a good place to practice unselfishness. I thought that was interesting. A good place to practice unselfishness. So, today I have out here, and thank you to Tim Tripp and Brittany Sargentson who helped me, or they did it. They did the setup that's out there. It's really neat. You got to go see it. But today we're going to have signups for small groups, and we also need leaders and hosts for those small groups. And you, if you say, well, I don't know what that means, we'll have some training, but we need someone to lead those different little small groups. So if you come out and see me later on out here, I do have a marketing tactic where if you come out and ask a question, I'll give you a cookie. I made some cookies. So if you come out, ask a question, can I sign up? What's this all about? What can I do? I got a cookie for you for the first like 40, I think 4 dozen or so. So if you would think about that, sign up today. It's an important part of being a church. Would you stand with me, please, and I'll dismiss us this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we have right now together, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together in the temple courts this morning, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, that you're a loving God, that you care about us, and you want the best for us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us, Lord, to lay down your very life, Lord, so that we may have life everlasting and that hope and promise that you have given us. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just equip each and every one of us to go out into the world, to share the gospel, to love one another, to have a compassion for every person we meet, just like you did, Lord. Just remind us of who we are, that we are a child of God, and that you love us so very much. Lord, I just pray that you would help our week to be blessed, and that we'll have a praise next week to say, this is what happened in my life this week. That someone touched me or I touched someone else for the love of your Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray all this in the precious, glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.